Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your girl Mitzi, and this is Mitzi. Let's think about it. Today, we are thinking about mental health and martial arts, you know. And when you think of those two, you don't really put them two together. But you know, this is something to truly think about. And thankfully for me, I have Robert on my show as a special guest to share his thoughts about this topic that we all need to think about. So, Robert, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm so glad to have you. How are you doing?
I'm good, very well, thank you.
Awesome. So let's just rip off the band-aid and get straight to it. What made you realize that mental health was good for you when you started doing a martial arts? Like, how did you associate the two?
I started martial arts back in, I can't think of the year now, 1994 probably. So yeah,
Wow.
quite a while ago. Although I haven't trained for that entire time, but I trained for 17 years straight from that point.
Wow.
And just it actually helped in a lot of ways. Not only was there the physical fitness, which helps and helps with, just balancing the neurotransmitters and hormones in the body, which then, helps overall, literally burns up some of those stress hormones,
Yeah.
which can help with anxiety and the like. But the fact that I was, meeting the same group of people 3 times a week, we'd talk about stuff, like I wound up knowing those guys better than, I would, say I knew my friends, because we would talk 3 times a week and, face to face and everything else, and have our little chats and be involved in each other's lives, which was really good from a socialization point of view.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me, obviously, was that a few years into training, someone else started training who became my wife. So
Oh, well, look at
that's,
that. Fancy that.
yeah, so that's how we met. We met through martial art training, and yeah, there was a, we used to have every 2 years there would be a camp where we'd sort of go away for weekend to do some advanced training. And yeah, it was during that we had sort of a literally deep and meaningful under the stars, and
Ooh.
then decided that there was something there, and the following week went on our first date, and yeah, we've been together
Oh,
ever since.
that is the sweetest story. That's like, oh, I bumped into each other at a coffee shop. No, yours is nice. Like, we were beating each other up and we fell in love. That is awesome. Well, see, you guys heard it first. If you guys want to find your match, your soulmate, go join martial arts. You might find her or him.
Well,
You never
yeah,
know, right?
common
Right?
interests are very
Exactly.
important for relationships, so yeah.
That's true. But it sounds like hobbies, joining a group really
Yes.
does it over in general, because maybe martial arts, you can't do that because of, physical
Yes.
restrictions or, any health, whatever the restriction is, sometimes that's not the way to go. But it's nice to know that just joining a group, having that committed time and just conversing about life,
Yeah.
that right there really does help your mental health alone. Because like you
Absolutely.
said, I absolutely agree. I think that's something that we all just need to think about, that's having that community. My question is, out of all of the hobbies that you could have chose knitting, you could have chose boxing, you could have chose Tupperwaring. Why choose martial arts?
Well, I think, I mean, there are a number of reasons. Like there were some really ones that, well, I did judo when I was in primary school, and dropped it because it just, as kids do. But I remember sort of having the thought, what if I'd stuck with it, I would have been a black belt by now, and like that would have been cool. And so I, that was sort of one thing. So I'd mentioned that I wanted to do, maybe take something back up again, and then, I wasn't the fittest person, certainly not the most athletic or coordinated person. And martial arts gave me that opportunity to, really coordinate, both sides of the body and the brain, and integrate those. I do believe that because the concentration on what both sides of the body doing is actually helping communication between the hemispheres of the brain, which can also then help with mental health. And over time, so the first stint I did was for 17 years, so it was pretty significant. But I certainly feel like a lot more coordinated. Also, what it just did in terms of general confidence, like being able to like feeling not being physically intimidated, knowing that if something did happen that you'd have a chance.
Yeah, you can
It's
defend yourself.
it's not that I can go out and beat anyone up. No, absolutely not. I have no ability for that. But I know I can
No
defend.
recommendations.
Yeah, and I know I can defend. And that if something happens, I could surprise someone and probably get out of the situation. And that's really all you want to do. Like our first rule was always don't be there. Like don't even try and get in that situation. Don't go to those places. Don't if something starts brewing, go away.
Yeah.
And so
Most definitely.
but the just the confidence of your size isn't going to intimidate me. I know and that way of sort of looking at the world, it certainly helped me just, I suppose, look people in the eye more because I was just more confident in general.
Yeah, most
And that helps.
definitely. It,
Helps
that
build
does help.
relationships, helps build rapport, and then other thing, it was just like snowballing. So lots of little things stemming from it.
I think that's what those are all very good points, those benefits, because, in the long run, that helps you become a very functional, successful adult, because when you start at a very young age and you carry those traits with you to adulthood, you start to rationalize, you see different scenarios differently, you see life differently, because not only do you know how to defend yourself, you know how to project yourself and handle yourself and manage yourself. That self-discipline, I guess is a better term to say it, because sadly not a lot of people have that self-discipline. It's funny you said
No.
the you're not supposed to go look for it, not instantly. I'm like seeing you going into a black an alley in a dark way looking for trouble.
No.
Like, no, don't do that, don't do that.
No, I'm very proud of the fact I've never had to get into a real fight. So.
That's good. I was gonna ask you, did you actually ever have to use those moves? Because to be honest, I'm not gonna lie, someone like you, I would not expect to be knowing martial
Exactly.
arts. But that's the cool thing. Like if somebody was like, "Hey, give me your money," and you'd be like, "Pew pew pew pew," you could get your
I
way,
don't know. No,
get
if
your
someone
way
was
out of
give
it.
me money, I'd give them the money. There's no point trying
Oh,
to,
okay.
like, why put yourself in at risk of getting injured? No. What's the 100 bucks? I wouldn't actually have 100 bucks in my wallet. Yeah, what's the 20 bucks I have in my wallet? That
Well,
little bit
now
of cash that I
you
keep just in case.
know.
Like
Right.
what's that worth versus, and also
Your
like,
life.
you got to
Yeah.
think. Not only could I get injured, but I might injure them, and that's going to make me feel awful too.
Yeah.
So,
That's true. Because now you could technically saying, I hear that when you practice any form of self-defense, you're considered to be a weapon, depending on what rank and what level you are. So it's like you're just a walking weapon by yourself. You don't even need anything. Go to
Well,
TSA
I
and get
haven't
stuff.
trained
You
for a
can go
long
and get
time, so.
it.
I haven't trained for quite a few years since before lockdowns, so before COVID. So and yeah, just it I had a quite a long gap because my children were born, and so we sort of stopped training in between. And then I returned to training for a year or so, but very intermittent because just I was very busy with work. And then then I've started doing a PhD, so my time is not very good at the moment, so I try to also do write books as because
Oh,
that's
I
my
know
relaxation. And
you're a
so
busy man. I know. I was reading up on it, and a little birdie told me that you're just a trick of all trades. You're with the school system. I mean, you're publishing and you're getting your PhD. But one thing that fascinated me that when she gave me her little notes on you, your little keynotes, was that she said that you have a phobia with jewelry. Is that
It,
true?
that is true.
Oh
It's
my goodness.
it actually has a
If you don't
name. It's
mind.
cosmemophobia. So it's actually got a name. Yeah, no, it's weird. I have no idea how it started. It's just
Okay.
bizarre. It's totally irrational, and I know that.
Okay.
And that's what makes it a phobia. Like the response is just completely disproportionate. it
So
just,
how
I don't
did
know,
you
it just
marry
pissed
your
me off.
wife? Like, did you give her a pebble like penguins, or
No,
like how did you do this?
I did buy, we did, she did have an engagement ring and a wedding ring. And I had a wedding ring, but which I forced myself to wear. And, but the moment I got home, I would have take it off, because, and I certainly couldn't go to sleep with it on. That would just, no.
Disturb you.
And just at when COVID hit, like, so I wore it for 17 odd years, and then, yeah, COVID hit. We, and somehow in moving between, like, and all the issues, I somehow lost it. But, and it was,
Oh.
this is not a, I've got a phobia, I'm going to secretly lose it. This was, I genuinely have lost the ring. And so now I don't wear one. But
But
yeah.
she
And
respects it though. She understands. She's not one of
yeah, she
those women
understands.
that wears lots of jewelry anyways.
No, but
That face you made.
when she does wear jewelry, it's, yeah, it's like, okay, well, I'll just be a little, an extra little bit, little bit of distance.
Goodness,
But
Robert, you're so funny.
it's so bizarre. Like, my daughter, like, when she was much younger, and was would do, like, the threading thing on, a piece of string with the blocks and stuff. Fine, I'll do that with her, no problems. The moment she tied it up and put it on as a necklace, I backed away. Like, I just, it's just, or when I was teaching at a girls' school, and there was, someone had lost a necklace, had fallen off, and someone had put it on the front bench. I couldn't teach. I had to cover it with a sheet of paper before I could actually teach the class, because while it was in my field of view, that
It
was all
was
I could
just
focus on.
disturbing. Yeah, it was disturbing your
Yeah.
teeth. Goodness. Oh my goodness. I couldn't
Yeah.
even
So, like, if,
imagine.
but if I have to, I can force myself to touch it, but I do sort of go to afterwards. But
That
yeah.
is so funny. Oh, I've never met somebody that with this phobia. I didn't even know this is even existed.
No,
But
there's some NASCAR driver who's got it too. I can't remember his name
yeah.
right now, but yeah.
Okay. Pop
Like, so
quiz salesman. Okay.
it's not just me.
Okay, cool. It's not just you. It's like a handful of people and all
Yeah,
across the world.
and, like, as I say, it's not, it's mild, because it's not totally, it doesn't stop me doing anything. It's not really affecting my life in any way. So
But can
it's
you talk?
just,
Because I've met some people that have a lot. Like, oh my goodness, it's a lot. Even I was just like, oh, that's,
yeah.
you have to put all of that on, like layers and
Yeah.
rings on top of rings. Like when you have to interact with someone like that in public, like are you just automatic disgusted while talking?
It's no, it's more that I tend to focus on it. Like, it's, so I tend to spend more time looking at the jewelry than looking at them. And so that's, it's sort of, it's just distracting for me.
Okay.
Yeah. I say, totally irrational. I have no idea. Like, there was no incident with anything. It was just,
Okay.
yeah, it's just totally random. I don't know how it developed, but it's definitely gotten worse over time.
Oh,
And yeah, I
that's
mean,
funny.
it's just totally bizarre. I don't
It's
know.
okay. I like it. I
Just
think that's the
the
coolest thing ever. I to be
thing.
honest, I wish we would have changed the topic to phobias because this is so funny. But it's cool though because yeah, you're not alone. There's a lot of people who have a lot of different types of phobias that
Yeah.
are just their own. Like for me, it's sound. Like if it's really, really sudden, loud sounds, oh my goodness, like it just crawls on my skin. I just absolutely hate it. But to get back on topic, what would be some advice you would tell your younger self if you could?
Ooh, look, I've come to accept that the negative things that have occurred in life are part of a journey to get you to where you are. So just be happy where you are, and just keep moving forward. Like, so, I am a firm believer in a growth mindset, that just because this is your ability now doesn't mean that's your ability in the future. I wouldn't have done as much study as I have if yeah, that was the case, or wasn't the
Yeah.
case. And yeah, just keep persist. Short version.
Awesome. That's good. I mean, there's no wrong answer into saying that because
No.
it's you telling yourself, you know? I mean, everyone that I've asked this question to so far has said something slightly different and slightly similar all at once. And it's nice because it just shows the stage of life that,
Yeah.
you know, you're talking to yourself from. And I think that's a good point, is just to pace yourself and enjoy it and just take it slow, because when we're young, I mean, we're just trying to run the race and go really fast, am I right?
Yeah, but that's the beauty of youth, and the particular that sort of time in your 20s when people are just that's building a career, like typically sort of around the time they sort of meet a significant other, and building some of those things. So they're making all those achievements and ticking off those sort of life goals as they sort of go through that time frame. And then you sort of get to where I'm at, which is middle age, and the it's you've ticked off all those goals, and now you're in this sort of state where there just isn't much more, like, it's just persisting through until sort of retirement. And you have that midlife crisis, like, is this really what I want to do for another 15, 20 years? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the and that's why I started the PhD, was to transition from teaching in high school to teaching at university. So the Yeah, that was part of that plan. Yeah, but it's also been a really good growth journey in terms of, thought development and things too. So I'm really enjoying that. And then, yeah, I mean, one other bit of advice I might give myself was that, so in terms of, understanding the meaning of life, that wonderful sort of thing, there's always two things I say around that. Like when a student, because I typically have, you occasionally get a kid, what's the meaning of life? And I say, well, there's two answers to that. First one is that's such a boring, unimportant question. The important question is, what is the meaning of your life? And every so often that kid will just have a brain pop and go like, well, which is very fun to see. But then I would also give there's actually a philosophical approach to it. So I think it was I'd say Aristotle actually contemplated this very question: what is the meaning of life? And came up with the meaning of life is to flourish, or to thrive. And so in terms of you think about the times when you've been happiest, and it's the times where you feel like you're developing, you're growing, you're building towards something, you're on a journey, you're on a really towards a destination. That's exciting. That's when fun. That's when your life has its most, meaning. And so his response is that that's the meaning of life, is to do that which makes you flourish, which makes you
Yeah.
thrive. And so the advice to my younger self would be, search for that. Search for the things that help you thrive. And
I like
that's
that.
certainly what how yeah what the relationship with my wife did for me when we got together, and then life since.
I get it. I mean, I like that a lot. You know, sometimes you have to flip those questions to yourself. And then once you do, you realize, now how am I thriving? How am I pursuing? How what you know, what am I doing? Because to make it meaningful, I have to reflect back on me and what I like and what I enjoy. And I think that's a good perspective, because you were able to find that with martial arts, and then you ended up to find out with your wife and with your family and your teaching and all the endeavors that you have put yourself into that has made you grow as an individual, because you became a forever student. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Oh yeah,
So I
lifelong
guess
learner.
you believe in that, a forever student mindset, because sometimes people, they stop allowing themselves to be educated because they're done. I mean, what do you say to those type of people?
It doesn't have to be education based. That's just my particular bent. But as we're talking about hobbies, continuing to pursue a hobby and not sort of going, this is my standard in whatever it is that I'm doing, but actually acknowledging that you can still improve, that sort of quest
Yeah.
to improve. And so even if it's, playing a sport, if it's, doing some sort of art thing, sculpting, whatever works for you, that it's a journey. And as I say, those sort of activities, if you can find a group to be involved with, even better. Not just having that regular contact is very good for
Right.
mental health.
Yes.
Gets you out of the house, gets you in a group of supportive environment. That all of that has really good benefits.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, you can only talk to your fern plant for so
Yes.
much, watering it every single day, and you can so much talk to your animals and pets for so long
Yeah.
before you start realizing, like, you know what? I need real communication. I need real human contact. And then we gotta really push ourselves out there, because I think anxiety is crippling, and I think people live too much in their minds, where when they have to face reality, it becomes crippling. You know what I mean? Basically,
Yeah,
just crippling,
absolutely.
because their imagination has made life seem a lot worse than what it is. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. So yeah, obviously the main symptoms of many mental illnesses include, social withdrawal, because what do people do? They retreat to their safe place. And so, the safe place might be a bedroom. And so they stay there for, much of the time when they're not forced to get out for work or school or whatever other reason. And it's, that's the thing. But, it is important to develop those safe places. And if you don't have the opportunity to have a safe place in another person, then a safe place in a pet can be really good. Dogs, I'm a huge dog person. I love, dogs are awesome. And they can act as that secure base for you, and they'll give you the affection and the consistency and all the good things, the positive regard that you need to thrive.
Yeah, I agree.
So
But you got to get the right dog, though, because my dog is a slow dog. Like, I'm his therapy human. Like, I got him to be my therapy dog, but it comes to find out I'm his therapy human, and it's stressful. So, you know what I mean? So sometimes you got to get the right dog.
Yeah, well, we previously had a German Shepherd. Like Brandy was our dog we got early in our relationship, and she was with us for 14 years, and she was, yeah, awesome. Now we've got two Cocker Spaniels. And yeah, they're just the most affectionate, lap dogs. And they're just wonderful. They're just so good. And they're
Oh,
great for the kids too. So the kids, have that opportunity to,
that's
take care of
cute.
something.
That's really cute, because yeah, that's good that they are lap dogs and they're affectionate, because I used to have like Doberman Pinschers and pit bulls, and they're very affectionate, very loving. So I wanted to do something different, and I got a Chinese Sharpei. Goodness, my Sharpei is such a antisocial dog that suffers from anxiety, and he's so paranoid from his own shadow. Like, goodness gracious, I got a hot mess when I adopted this dog. I did not know what I was going into. I thought Wrinkly would be cute, and no, it gave I had to wait a whole year with him just to build trust, just so I can pet him and just show him love. Oh my goodness, it was a hot mess, but that's my baby though. Anyways, look at us getting off topic. We could just
That's
talk
all right.
for hours
Look,
on end. This was a good conversation.
I think it's still relevant though. But even for you, that going on that journey with your dog also helps you explore, yourself
Patience.
too through that relationship, and
Yeah.
which can only ultimately benefit both of you. So that's
Yeah,
good.
that's true. That's true. It really taught me patience, where now where I have my sons and they go through their tantrums, and I just breathe while they scream. Because
This too shall
exactly,
pass.
like, this will pass. It's only a season. It's okay. But anyways, I guess I start wrapping up the show. What could be some great words of wisdom that you can leave myself and my audience off with? Even though this has been such a great conversation, I feel like we could just talk naturally.
I've given you the meaning of life, so
I know. I
I don't
mean,
know.
what else is there?
Just say, keep exploring. I mean, that to me has been my path to happiness, has been through exploring both personal growth, but intellectual growth and development. continue to build those relationships. And community relationships too. So like I've started or returned to chairing a local writers group, and that having that involvement with a relatively small group of people, like we get about a dozen people maybe there, but we get to meet monthly and talk about writing, share our writing, share our passions, and but that's a really good sort of, and when I sort of go out, to the local shopping center, it feels like every time I go out, I meet someone, or at least one out of three times, I will see someone I know, because I've got those community sort of links, and that feels nice. It feels nice to be part of a community, part of a group, that you have some sort of,
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. I mean, it's very good to have that community. At the end of the day, that's what we all strive for. And I just hope that anybody who's listening and wants to know more about Robert, please check out his website. I have it on my website. You could go directly there under his lovely photo. Just click right there and you can find all the great content that he has. He has vlogs, he has publication. I mean, he has a lot of good content that you can check out to keep yourself thinking. Alrighty, y'all. That's it. That's the show. Always, always, always keep thinking, y'all. Bye.